science is interesting, and if you don't agree, you can fuck off.
Hello, Alan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Shamina.
That is wonderful. So now we've got AUT's Alan Blackman joining us in the studio to talk about some of the big science stories from the past week. First up today, let's talk about a pretty alarming story that's come out of Turkey over the past week.
Yeah, indeed. It's been reported by the Turkish Board of Education that they are going to stop teaching evolution in high school over there. And the reason being, and I quote, evolution is debatable, controversial, and too complicated for the students. First quote, we believe that these subjects are beyond the students' comprehension. Second quote, and the third quote is that it's a theory that was both archaic and lacking sufficient evidence.
What?
So, yeah. What? Oh, no. So, yeah, what can you say, really? It's blindingly obvious. Well, okay, so these guys don't know what a theory is, obviously. Honestly, one of the big things that people go on about evolution is that it's just a theory. And so that means that they don't know what a theory is. A theory is based on observation. It's based on fact. So a theory is the best explanation of the facts that you've got at the time. And that's the important word, facts. Not alternative frickin' facts, facts.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a difference between a hypothesis and a theory. So a hypothesis is something that you propose that you think might be the case. You then go off, do your experiments, get your data, and then on the basis of those data, you then propose a theory. And the theory is the best explanation, as I said, of the facts that you've got at the time. Now, that's not to say that a theory can't be wrong. Of course, a theory can be wrong. But that's the way that science advances. We go from theory to theory to theory. At the moment, the theory of evolution is the best explanation that we've got of the way that we came to be, essentially, and everything, every living thing came to be. So this is really, really very, very disappointing.
I guess it's kind of like also the difference between like a colloquial use of the term theory and in academia in a way, you know, because people when you might say, oh, well, in theory, blah, blah, blah. But in academia, it's more like this theory, this is research, robust research that has been done about the subject.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I guess that might be.
So it is. It's semantics, I guess, to a certain extent. But I think that's just an excuse from the naysayers, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So one really hopes that this doesn't come to pass, unfortunately. It seems to be that Erdogan has said that this is okay. He's personally approved it. And he's just given himself all these powers over there to sort of be the president and, be everything, et cetera, which is an absolute tragedy. I've been to Turkey. Turkey is a fantastic country, and the people are the nicest people on the planet. You will not believe the hospitality that you get in Turkey. It's just a wonderful, wonderful country, and it's so sad to see all of the gains, I guess, that Ataturk made, all of those years ago. He's treated as a god over there, the statues of him all over the show. And he essentially secularized Turkey and pulled them kicking and screaming into the 20th century. And now it seems that this guy kind of wants to pull them kicking and screaming back into the 19th or something.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I feel like so much of the news about Turkey lately has been about. This growing sort of religious influence in the way that the country is governed, and that, Turkey years ago was sort of celebrated as this place in the Middle East where, religion can be treated separately from the state.
Yep.
But now it's kind of seeming with Erdogan and the things that he's doing that is sadly not so much the case anymore.
Yeah, well, the same with the separation of church and state in the USA, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. Some similarities there, sadly.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess watch this space. Speaking of the USA, 60% of adults do believe in evolution. So that makes 40% of the USA. So 350 million people, 40% don't believe in evolution. Oh boy, and it's not a matter of belief. It just is. We're talking facts here.
It's like gravity is considered a theory.
The theory of gravity. Yes,
but,
exactly.
But no one disputes the theory of gravity.
You throw yourself off a building, you'll find out about the theory of gravity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Concerning. Anyway, so next up is actually kind of a funny story, I thought, where we have a NASA scientist basically calling out Gwyneth Paltrow's website Goop for one of their latest bullshit products.
And did you ever think that you would use the words Gwyneth Paltrow and NASA in the same sentence? because she ain't no rocket scientist.
I feel like this is the only sort of, yeah, probable scenario in which I could have envisioned that, yes.
Okay, so for those listeners who don't know, apparently Gwyneth Paltrow is associated with a website called Goop. Now, Gwyneth has
I think she founded it.
She did. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yep, we'll go that far. So she's had a couple of good movies in her career. So Sliding Doors is a great movie.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
It's a really good movie. Yeah. And she won the Best Actress for which movie, guys?
Oh,
here's your quiz.
Don't do this to me.
Oh, no, he's done it again.
It's a movie that gets a lot of hate for some reason. I don't know. Shakespeare in Love. Oh. Remember that? You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
It's very good. That's a cool movie. Anyway, so she made some good movies way back when, but now she's treated as some sort of lifestyle guru.
That was Sarah, our breakfast producer, coming in and waving her arms at us wildly, saying, great film.
So we've got some agreement there, yeah. So Gwyneth now runs Goop, which, quote, is a modern lifestyle brand offering cutting-edge wellness advice. As soon as you see the word wellness, you run, and you do not look back. Oh, my God. That's one of the bad words of the English language. Well, it's not even a word in my view. Anyway, but...
Okay.
So what Gwyneth is selling on her Goop website are these stickers that apparently, and again, I'm quoting, they are pre-programmed to an ideal frequency. So apparently human bodies operate at an ideal energetic frequency, and these wearable stickers rebalance the energy frequency in our bodies. By crikey, I really want to go out and buy one with words like that. Of course, it's all bollocks. Now, what Gwyneth did was make the mistake of saying that these things are made out of the same stuff that NASA puts in their spacesuits. So this carbon of some description, apparently. So this was shown to somebody at NASA and... came back quoting that this was BS, quote unquote, which is hardly surprising, really. So people approach the company that make these things and saying, right, where is your peer-reviewed research that shows that this works? And to which the reply was, the research is confidential. And that always seems to be the case, funnily enough, with these sort of snake oil sort of things that for some reason they've done all this research and it shows that it works, but, oh, we can't show you, you know, because it's commercially sensitive or whatever. Normally the first thing that you do if you do come up with some amazing discovery is to patent it. Mm. And then as soon as you patent it, then the method becomes freely available. Well, freely seen by all, I guess. You can't necessarily use it without paying someone to use it, but
at least people can see how you went about doing it, so then they can sort of, yeah.
Absolutely. Which apparently is why the formula, I think, for Coke is not patented, and it's only known to like two or three people at a time, something like that. It's written on a piece of paper, something like that, something weird thing, because if they did patent it, then the formula would be out in the open and people would know it. So
somebody told me the other day that those people who know the Coke formula aren't all allowed on the same plane, just in case the plane crashes. I was like, nah, that's bullshit. But then, we did a little bit of research and it turns out that...
That could well be the case. I wouldn't mind betting.
Because if such a small handful of people know it at any one given time, then, you know, it makes sense.
So anyway, so basically she's been sort of owned, I guess, by NASA, which, again, you know, is a good thing. And again, as soon as you see the word frequency or energy or something like that in any of these bloody things, again, run a mile, because they don't know what they're talking about.
Are you saying that my crystal therapy isn't...
Oh, don't you start. Don't you start. Jeez.
I don't know. I feel like... Yeah, she's been ridiculed for years, though, right? About all of the stuff that's on Goop. There was the case of women being encouraged to buy this egg to then put up their, you know, very respective private parts for some sort of health benefit.
Yep.
Which is just, come on, you know, don't put like a bloody egg up there. It's not a good idea. Yeah.
But hey, you know, if anyone can sell it, she can, obviously. And that's the sad thing, is that people are treating her as being some sort of health expert. She's not. She's a bloody actress, for goodness sake. You know? She's made some good movies, but come on, you know. Mm. Why do we look to these people to sort of tell us what's good for us? Why the I just cannot understand the celebrity culture that these people are endowed with sort of higher knowledge than the rest of society, and we should really take note of what they think because they're no more right or wrong than the rest of us.
I saw, I think it was only last week actually, that she was on Jimmy Kimmel, and he asked her some hard questions, as hard as Jimmy Kimmel might get, about some of the products that she has online, and it kind of got to a point when she was like, I don't even know what the fuck we do. she literally said those words. So, you know, like, if that's not a sort of indication to the people who are buying her shit, then like, what's gonna do it, you know?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I didn't say that, but no, that's
very
perfect.
Funny. Yes. It's very funny.
If your company name is Goop, then you're just gonna be selling Goop.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes, it's not the best name. Right? I wouldn't have thought. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, moving on today, we're looking at how the weight of a kilogram is going to be redefined in 2018.
Indeed. So, those of you who've sort of studied any science will know that science is all about measurement. And in order to measure things, we've got to have units with which to measure. And so the system that we use is called the SI system of units. And there are seven fundamental units in the SI system, and they are the units of the ampere for electric current, the candela for luminous intensity, which is the one that you won't have heard of, Kelvin for temperature, kilogram for mass, meter for distance, the mole for amount of substance, and the second for time. And you can measure anything using those seven units or combinations thereof, okay? Now, six of those units are based on physical measurements, and the other unit, the kilogram, is measured on a physical object. So it's actually, there's a kilogram weight sitting in France, which is the basis of the kilogram measurement throughout the world. And so the problem with this is that it's made of a platinum iridium alloy. It was made over 100 years ago, and over time it loses a little bit of weight, and if you take it out of its box and handle it and stuff like that, and you get stuff all over it, and that changes its weight as well. So therefore you want something that defines the kilogram that's not a physical object, and that's a little bit difficult. So there's two ways that they're approaching this. The first way is to get a really, really accurate measurement of a thing called Planck's constant, which I'm guessing you probably haven't heard of. Maybe you have. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, done, man! No, goodness. Okay.
Isn't it the smallest measurement which you can make? Planck's length.
The Planck length. The yes, Planck length, yes. Yeah. The Planck length in atomic physics. Yes. Yep.
Maybe I'm confusing the two.
No. It's certainly related. But the Planck's constant is a thing that relates, dare I say, frequency, which we were talking about last time with Gwyneth. Frequency and energy. So basically everything vibrates at a particular frequency, or it's got an associated frequency, let's say, and the relationship between that and energy, which is related to the kilogram, is through this thing called Planck's constant. And Planck's constant is tiny. It's 10 to the power of minus 34. Very, very, very small number. But if you can measure that really, really accurately, then you've got a new basis on which to define the kilogram. So that's what people are trying to do now, is to measure Planck's constant really, really, really accurately. The other way they're doing it is trying to make very, very, very pure silicon. So they want an absolutely pure sphere of silicon, and they're going to count the number of atoms in that. And if they can count the number of atoms in that, then they can redefine the kilogram on the basis of that. So, as I said, these two sort of separate approaches to the redefinition of the kilogram, but it's something that must be done. And the Planck's constant way is seemingly the more preferred of the two because, it's not relying on a physical object. It's relying on a physical measurement, essentially. So, once they redefine this, then that's going to affect an awful lot of units because an awful lot of units are based on the kilogram. So the unit of force, the unit of pressure, those sorts of things, they're all based on the kilogram as well. And so, therefore, those units are going to change. Now, when we're talking about change, we're talking tiny, you know, and insignificant to all but the most fastidious scientists, I guess. So it's not going to make any difference when you pop down the dairy and get a kilo of whatever.
People aren't going to be, you know, going to have to be going out and buying new sets of scales or anything.
No, the kitchen scales, not going to worry them, no.
Well, thank you so much for once again joining us this week, Alan.
Not a problem.
Talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Jamila.
That was Dear Science.